Would you join me in honoring our sister in Christ, Joni Ames?
Praise the Lord. Hang on just a second. I got one more thing to fix here. A couple more things to fix. There we go. There we go. Thank you, Lord. So, wow, it's been a while, hasn't it? I'm so glad to be here. I was so excited to be able to see you all. And then there's lights, so I can't. So, hi, whoever you are. God is so good. And I'm just so thankful that he's brought us all back together again. And I'm so excited about your new building. We just drove over and drove past it. I took a couple pictures. And wow, just think pretty soon you'll be in there. And no more crowdedness. And you can bring 10 friends each. How's that? So, Lord, I thank you for each and every one. And I just thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here. We just ask you that you would pour out your spirit tonight. Just come, Holy Spirit. We invite you. Come, come, come. And we just, I just ask you that you would speak through me and teach through me tonight. And, Lord, that you would just give these people the words of encouragement that they need. We just ask you for those words to be spoken expressly, Lord, just like what's on your heart. And Holy Spirit, help me see and hear all that you have for each one tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know, one of the things that I'm most passionate about that God has called me to do is to teach and activate people in the prophetic ministry. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that tonight. And just to say to you that, you know, if you haven't ever stepped out in it, now is the time. And one of the things that I deal with a lot, well, probably the primary thing that I deal with when I teach and activate people in prophetic ministry is fear, you know, and people second-guessing themselves on what God gives them. Oh, that couldn't be God. Oh, he wouldn't give me something like that. Or, oh, that sounds dumb. Or, oh, that sounds stupid. Well, it might, but I've been a fool for lesser things than Jesus, so hey, why not try this, you know? Just saying. And sometimes you will feel that way. But, you know, even the whole faith thing, if you really think about it, you can either refer to it as faith or stupidity because, you know, in Hebrews chapter 11, 1, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. And then further on in the chapter, it says the things that are made are made of things that cannot be seen. So, you know, there, you know, two times in a row, it's saying that what you've asked God for is going to come out of nothing. Out of nowhere, except that word faith, that you have faith. In other words, that you believe God. And, you know, fear is the same thing as faith, but it's believing in the devil instead of God. And so we prophesy by faith. We prophesy believing that because he said that his sheep know his voice, that we know his voice and we can hear it. And we prophesy by faith, believing that he says for us to do it. And that faith is, that as we prophesy, that we're doing it for edification, exhortation, and comfort. So that we can encourage other people. By the way, that word encourage means the EN is to infuse or to put into. And the other word, of course, is courage. So when you're prophesying to somebody, you're infusing them with courage. Now, what can be wrong with that? I'm just saying. As long as it's a real thing. But, you know, therein is the issue, because we want to be doing the real thing. We want to really be giving words from God, not anything from the enemy. And one of the primary things people ask me is, well, how do you know if it's God or Satan or yourself? Well, number one, you can eliminate yourself because you're not that smart. Neither am I, you know. And then on the other hand, as to figuring out whether it's from God or the devil, you know, if it's in the Word, it's from the Lord, or if it can be backed up by the Word. But if it's something contrary to the Word of God, it's the devil. Sorry. So when you kind of separate it out like that, it's pretty easy to tell. Plus that, you know, when you ask God for a word for somebody, he's not going to give you a curse. He's going to give you a prophetic word that's edification, exhortation, and comfort, and it'll be from him, and it'll be in his authority. Excuse me, it'll be something that you won't be ashamed of. You know, God's word says that he does not make us ashamed. But again, one of the primary things that you have to battle is to quit second-guessing yourself. Part of that means you need to be healed, because sometimes we hate ourselves, so we don't believe we can do anything good. And if we're supposed to love our neighbor as we love ourselves and we hate ourselves, that means we're going to hate our neighbor too, okay? So it's important to love yourself. It's important to love the person that you are, that you've become. You may not love the person you were in your past. I don't think most of us do, you know, not to a great degree anyway. And so you need to get healed. And, you know, when we get healed, then in the very areas where we've been wounded, once we're healed, we have authority to heal others. And so a lot of times in the area of the prophetic, then what happens is that you will see familiar spirits on other people or operating in other people's lives. And those familiar spirits, you're familiar with them because it's something you battled in your lifetime, something you've dealt with in your lifetime. And so you have authority over that because you've been healed and you've been delivered. And so now you have authority. And, you know, when you have authority over something, that really kind of makes everything worthwhile, doesn't it? Because I don't know about you, but if I go through a whole bunch of junk for nothing, I'm going to be pretty torqued when I stand up in heaven there. But what was that all about, you know? Well, there's a sliding board there, too, so watch out. Yeah, know what I mean. And so, you know, we have to realize that everything we go through has purpose. And the purpose is so that we can then minister to other people. And the prophetic is such a wonderful tool that God gives to us so that we can minister and we can give other people hope and healing. And like I said, a lot of times it's because we've been where they have been. And nobody has authority with us like someone who's been where we've been. You know, you can't effectively, well, I shouldn't say you can't, but it's a great deal more effective if somebody that's been a drug addict or an alcoholic ministers to somebody that's a drug addict or an alcoholic, because they can say, yes, you can get through this, you know, and don't let the enemy or don't let yourself bamboozle you and tell you you can't. If I did it, you can, because I'm a whole lot weaker person than you. And, you know, I want to talk to you about being weak. Do you know that God usually doesn't call you to do things that you are like Superman in, you know? He usually calls you to do something you don't exactly feel qualified to do. And you want to know why? Because that way, when something good comes of it, you'll give him the glory, not yourself. And don't think that just because you're being called to do something that you're weak in, that you can't do it. You know, I worked for all these ministries. Those of you who know me and know my story know that. And I would be put in positions and I would be like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. I've never done this before. And, you know, who am I? And all of that. And I'm just really weak in that area. And God says, well, good then, because in your weakness, I am strong. So you're going to do an exceptional job because you're going to have to do it through me. And so in the very weakest areas you've got is where you'll be the strongest, because you're doing it in God's strength and not yours. And you're trusting him. And like I said, he'll get all the glory for it. I'm going to throw that down. There we go. See, you didn't even have to fall. You're not going to harass me. But, you know, so my next thing was, don't be spooky or weird. And then look what I just did. But we don't need to be spooky or weird. You know, we don't need to say things that are going to, just like people are going to go, ooh, ah, wow, oh, you're so fantastic, and oh my, and you visit heaven every day, oh wow, why don't you just stay there, you idiot? You know, those people that just say that they do that, it's like, you are crazy. You know, there are nut houses full of people just like you, and they're in white jackets with their hands tied behind their backs. And, oh, I visit with angels all the time. And I'm like, yeah, well, they ain't God's angels. They're the fallen ones, because you're pretty weird. That word weird means skilled in witchcraft. And we don't want to be that. And I'm telling you, this is a season where it's like the enemy's pulled out all the stops. any weirdos that are around are trying to say they're prophetic and doing whatever. And you really are prophetic. And we need to battle it with the righteous, with the right. Not necessarily put it down. So, you know, I'm being kind of silly just because some of this stuff is funny. It's crazy. Like somebody saying that they went to heaven and there was Santa Claus giving presents out to the kids. I'm like, yeah, it must have been a bar named Heaven or something, you know, just saying. Or they went to heaven and they saw Christopher Reeve and he was in his Superman suit and he was teaching kids how to fly. And I'm like, wow, what drug was that one? Just saying, you know. And we need to be real, not real crazy. And again, how are we going to discern what's from the Lord or what's from us, our own imagination or anything else? Be in the Word. The more you are in the Word, the more the Word will be in you. And the Word is Jesus. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God and then dwelt among us in the form of Jesus, on the face of the earth in the form of Jesus. And so the more of that word that you get into you, the more of Jesus you get into you, and the more successful that gift that you have on the inside of you will be towards encouraging and bringing others into the kingdom and helping those who are in the kingdom to stay in the kingdom and to have the encouragement that they need for these times. Because I don't know about you, I cannot even fathom how people are handling everything that's going on without Jesus. That's just a frightening thought when even we who have Jesus are having difficulties. You know, one of the big concerns out there lately, like everybody, did you notice everybody's becoming a mental health expert? You know, everything's about mental health. And I'm like, yeah, get you some, please. because it's just, they're just sounding crazy. You know, and it was really sad. I think it was just last year, the young girl who did not finish doing the Olympics because of her fears and things like that. And really, it wasn't even that. The news media told a wrongful story. That young girl had a physical issue that caused her to see things wrong. And if she had gotten off balance and fallen in the wrong direction, she could have gotten badly hurt. But instead, they made it be about fear and made it be about a mental health issue when it was a physical issue. And then they just began to tell everybody, well, you just got to know when it's time to quit. You just got to know when you just don't feel like doing those things anymore. And I'm like, that is a wrongful teaching, because if anybody told me that, I wouldn't have done half the things I did in this lifetime. I would have quit a long time ago. We've got to learn to tell our people, tell our children, tell our loved ones to stick to it. You know, tell others out there that you need to stick to it. Unless, of course, like that young girl had, which they weren't really telling in the beginning, she had a specific physical problem that had she continued on, she could have gotten killed by falling the wrong way or whatever, because there was something in her brain that caused her to go off balance. And so don't just quit because you just feel like it. You know, most of the time, if you feel like quitting, it's because you're just about there. You know, there's old sayings like it's always darkest before the dawn and everything else. And that's just so true. It's right before you win, right before you go over the finish line that the enemy tries to do something. And I'm telling you, you've got to continue to press on. And forget about your past and your past mistakes. You know, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I have two songs that I like to sing when I'm going through things like that. And one is I can't remember the name of the movie, but anyway, it's a kid's movie about snow and everything. And it's Let It Go, Let It Go. There we go. What was it again?
Frozen.
Frozen. Let It Go, Let It Go. And the other is when people get on my back and they start carrying on at me and being nasty, it's Shake It Off. And I actually have it on my phone and I'll play it. And as I'm driving down the road, I'm acting it out. I'm going, Shake It Off, Shake It Off. Truck drivers honk at me and I go, Shake It Off, Shake It Off. but, you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We've really got to remember that. And don't get so serious about things. And don't let things be so serious for you. making mountains out of molehills, as they say, because you have a prophetic gift on the inside of you that God wants to use in this hour to reach and to touch many people, especially those who aren't yet in the kingdom. And by the way, usually when somebody starts coming off with names, dates, and places, that doesn't impress me too much, because you can get that off of Facebook, Intellis, Instagram, and all these other things. But what the Bible says is that because they will tell you the secrets of your heart and they will be made manifest, they will fall on the ground and report that God is truly among you. When somebody starts telling you the secrets of your heart that nobody else knows except God and you, then you know that's from the Lord. And just don't get taken in by all that stuff. You know. And by the way, these people did this kind of stuff even back in the 50s. And they would have like a little thing in their ear where somebody would tell them information about the people and everything. We don't need that. We've got a God that really does tell us stuff. And God doesn't need an earpiece. Just saying. You know, because He is in your ears. He's in all of you. And He can speak to you. And if you open your mouth, He will fill it. He promises He will. And He's not a liar. And so trust Him. And God looks inside of people. He doesn't have to know the outside stuff. And I always tell people, don't tell me anything. Don't tell me anything, please. And tell your people, don't tell me anything. Because I don't even want a hint. Because I think it's cool when God tells you. Also, sometimes that scares people, and that's funny. I'm just saying. I've seen grown men with tattoos all over and bicycle chains on them and everything else, and you start telling them some of this stuff, and they just cry. And I just love to make grown men cry. But they cry in a good way. I'm not being mean here. But, you know, they succumb to Jesus, and they give their life to Him, and we don't need to fake it. We absolutely don't need to fake it. And I know you all operate, you know, to a degree in the prophetic, and you have prophetic classes and so forth. I just want to say, when you go to minister to people, one of the things that happened to me when I first started out was, like, I couldn't have somebody sit beside somebody and touch them. Unless it's husband and wife or family, for some reason, if like a best friend came in and touched on somebody while I was praying for them, I'd get the wrong word for them. Like, they'd get their word, and they'd get their word. I'd get it mixed up. Because it spiritually, it does something. It connects. When you connect, those things connect. So I just want to say to you, if that's ever happened to you, just make sure that you don't let people touch the person that you're ministering to. Very important, because you don't need to get things, wires crossed and that type of thing, because that's what can happen. And I actually had a situation one time where I was ministering in a home group, and this woman came in, and I could tell she had a fancy to this one woman's husband. And when I started to pray for the husband and wife, she went and stood behind the husband, and she put her hand on his shoulders. And I was like, oh, no, you don't, you know? And I just stopped, and I said, excuse me, like, ma'am, you need to go to the other side of the room so that I don't mix up this husband and wife's word, because they're the husband and wife. So go over there across the room. And she was angry. She was angry. But what could she say? Because she just got found out. And so, you know, pay attention to things like that, because there's some things that you pick up in the natural. And I didn't embarrass her. I didn't say, you know, anything like, you know, I see you're trying to make a play for that lady's husband, but she got the idea. And so did everybody else, I think. Yeah. But I have this saying, I may be some dumb, but I'm not plumb dumb. And, you know, the thing is, when you are prophesying, you sometimes do, or maybe I should say often do, also catch things that are wrong too. But you know, God wants us to speak to what's right and cause that to be watered and fertilized and grow, not to cause the wrong in somebody's life to be watered, fertilized, and grow. And everybody pretty much knows where they're wrong. Y'all know where you're wrong? If not, we'll have hidden sin night tonight, okay? Just kidding. But you know, it's easy sometimes to see the bad stuff going on, but we don't need to focus on that. We're here so that we can give God's heart. And he's a God of love. Does he ever correct? Absolutely, because who he loves, he corrects. But there is a certain guideline to go among that. So my book actually is on Amazon for those of you who don't have it. I think almost everybody here does because we've done this before. But it's if you just put my name in, and you don't have to remember the big long title, but it's on Amazon, and it's meant to be a prophetic mentor to people so that even if you don't know anything about the prophetic, it'll pretty much teach you from one end to the other. And I even have exercises in there that you can do, like if you have a home group, so that you can practice the prophetic. And it's fun to do that. You know, I'm very thankful that God allowed me to go to different places where there were teachers like Bishop Bill Hammond at Christian International and his whole group, as well as Morningstar. And then they had the Prophets Movement in Kansas City, and I went there, and James Gall and his wife, and just really stellar people that I've learned from over the years. And so I've tried to put all of that together along with what I learned from the Word in this book. And you don't really need anybody to come lay hands on you if you read this book because all of what the Lord put into those people I tried to convey as well. And I feel like also one of the things that the Lord said is when you go to minister to somebody else, pay attention to how you feel. Your mental state, your physical state, everything. Actually, at Morningstar, we had this little thing where we said, do a heart, mind, and body check. Like, am I mad at anybody? Because you could be giving a mad word to somebody just because you're mad. And they're out going out, they're like, what happened there? You know? Am I hurt? Am I depressed? Am I feeling grievous? What's going on that way? Do I have a headache? Do I have an ache in the other part of my body? Because a lot of times the Lord will give you a sensing of maybe a pain in your head because that person is dealing with headaches and so forth. So know what condition your condition is in. Wow, I think that was a song a while back. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in. But check out your own condition first, and then you'll better be able to have a better temperature gauge, so to speak, to be able to minister to other people. And it's kind of been, maybe 25 years that I've been doing this. And, you know, I'm still learning. I mean, there are still things that I wish I would have put in my book. So I'm, like, making notes of them, and there'll be book two, which I might get fired for. I don't know what I get fired from, but... I've been making people mad lately about some of the things. But, you know, we never stop learning. Amen. We've always got to have a humble heart and know we don't know everything and that there's stuff out there that we can still learn. And that's what makes Christianity so exciting. There's different ways that God speaks to us. I will never forget when he quit speaking to me in the way that I was familiar. And I thought that he quit speaking to me entirely. I was like, I don't hear from God anymore. And finally one day he said to me, don't be so dramatic. I'm just speaking to you in a different way because I'm teaching you something else. And he will. He'll speak to you in a different way. He has the Nabal word, which is the preceding word out of the mouth of God. And that has to be kind of watered a little bit. It's kind of like priming a pump. And so you start out either praying in English or praying in tongues. And as you begin to pray it, or even just like, Lord, I just ask you to bless this person. I just ask you if you have anything for them. But anyway, I ask you to bless their health. I ask you to bless their finances. And then blah, 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 all of a sudden the preceding word out of the mouth of God begins to come. It bubbles up, as they say, and just begins to flow. And that's just an awesome thing that Bishop Bill Hammond's group teaches about. And I'm telling you what, they did not let us say we weren't getting anything. We had a partner and there was a line of people and they had stopwatches, the partner, and they would have their arm linked through yours. They'd take you from one person to the next, maybe every 30 seconds. And as soon as they jerked you to the next person, you had to have something coming out of your mouth if it was Mary Had a Little Lamb. It was training. We were in basic training for the prophetic. And they taught us to bypass our mind, our will, and our emotions, and to just do what the Bible says and open our mouth so that he could fill it. And it was fun. After it was so frightening, it was fun. It was pretty frightening in the beginning, though. And I was like, where's the door? Am I in a cult or what? You know? But we learned, like I said, to bypass our stinking thinking and to go on and do what God's Word said that we could do. And sometimes we need that kind of a healthy reminder. And then there's the seer anointing. And there's two different types of seer anointings. There's one, and I can only explain it by saying that you see things on people. That doesn't mean that you see a picture necessarily, but you might. But you could just look at somebody and say, you know, like I'd be looking at Doc Shell, you have an anointing of wisdom, and you know it. And then you might look at me and say, and you don't. No. And you look at somebody else and say, oh, you have a gift of the anointed joke. And you make, like these two over here, and you sometimes make your wife mad with it. I remember giving them that word a long time ago. But you just see it. Just you look at them and you just know it. It's a seeing that comes with a knowing. And then there's the seer anointing that can be like a movie. And you look at the person, and it's kind of like that saying, my life flashed before me. That person's life will flash before you like a video vision, and you'll see their past, their present, and their future just all at once. I love it when that happens. It's a rare thing that happens, but when it does, I just love it because you're caught up in that more than you are in the natural until it's all done, and it's so exciting. And like I said, God will tell you things that you or nobody else knows except that person and God. And that's really the most exciting thing. I've gotten like street names or different things like that before. But one of the most exciting things that ever happened to me was one time I was ministering to a couple, and it was a Monday before Thanksgiving, and I looked at them. I think I put this in my book. I looked at them and I said, the Lord said that he's tired of seeing you suffer. And your bills, almost all your bills are going to be paid off by Thanksgiving, and you're not even going to have Thanksgiving dinner. You're going to be in a restaurant and take home leftovers. And I said, and then the Lord said that before the end of the year, he's going to pay off the rest of your bills, and you're going to spend Christmas at Disney World. And by the time the end of the year comes, even your mortgage and your car payment's going to be paid off. And I was like, what did I just say? I better run after this. I had no business giving that kind of a word to people. And this is what's coming to me. It's like, I was terrified. I was like, oh my gosh, I hope they don't know my address, you know. They're going to come hunt me down. And so church ended and they went out the side door. We were just in this little tiny building in a little tiny town in North Carolina. And it was a Salvation Army building that these people had rented to have these meetings and had me come up there. And so they went out the side door into an alley to get to their car, and the pastor and his wife were still in there, and the remaining like 30 people were there. And all of a sudden, and people come up to you after you're done with ministering to talk to you. And so I was talking to a couple people. All of a sudden, there was a big ruckus at the door. That couple had come back in. They were screaming and hollering, and I'm like, gee, I'm sorry, I can't hardly hear you because they're being so loud. And all of a sudden, the pastor and his wife and the couple come up the aisle, and they're hollering, everybody, stay where you are. Stay where you are. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, somebody's out there with a gun. You know, I really did, because, you know, stuff like that happens. Somebody left me out the alley with a gun. And they said, we've got to tell you all something. And they grabbed the microphone, and they said, while Joni was ministering to them, her sister was trying to call her. So I'm thinking, well, there's some kind of emergency. Somebody's sick or whatever. You know, you just keep supposing God instead of just shut up and listen. And so then I was finally listening, and she said, and you just cannot believe what the message was that the sister left. And so while you all are still here, we wanted to play it for you. And so they put the phone up there by the microphone. They put the microphone up to it, and she says, hey, sis, I've been trying to get a hold of you. Dad just called. He's been trying to get you. So he told me to tell you this. But don't buy anything for Thanksgiving because he's going to take us out for Thanksgiving dinner. And he said, bring all our current bills because he's going to pay them off. He's tired of seeing us suffer. And he said, oh, and by the way, we're going to Disney World for Christmas and we're supposed to bring our mortgage and our car information because he wants to go ahead and give us our inheritance now so that he can see us enjoy it so that we can stop complaining when we're around him.
Wow.
You know, and so that's the kind of awesome things that God can do. So again, don't second guess yourself. God's an awesome God, and you're awesome. He made you. I mean, you were made by God. You weren't made by the devil, so quit listening to the stupid devil. You were made by God. And, you know, God knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. And I'll tell you what, during these difficult times on the face of the earth, we're going to have some of the most awesome times.
Amen.
Because of the God that we serve.
Yes.
I mean, it's going to be awesome. Who would have thought? Now, I don't know if he's saved or not, but who would have thought Elon Musk would have turned Republican? There's more miracles than that coming. I'm not trying to be political, but I was just shocked today. I read his little tweet and everything. And, you know, he says something about that the other side was known as the sweet, kind, and loving group, and now they aren't anymore, and so he's going to be Republican. And I'm like, whether that's true or not, I am just amazed, God. Look what you did with this man. To me, it speaks that he has now turned to more conservative ideas, maybe even about abortion, maybe even about homosexuality and everything else. You don't know. The man might have gotten saved. There are people getting saved left and right in Hollywood. Hollywood! You know, even though that bad thing happened with Chris Rock and Will Smith and everything, a really cool thing happened right in the midst of that, and it showed Denzel Washington ministering to the Smith guy, Will Smith, and he said, you know, right when you hit the heights is when the enemy tries to come in and knock you down, and God listened to God or something to that effect. And here it was, his preaching went out over the whole world because this dumb thing happened. So don't pay attention to the dumb thing that happens. Look for the good thing that happened as well. Because there's good news out there too. There's all kinds of good news out there. I don't know how many of you watch ABC, the Good Morning America program, but do you know that every week they have Christian ministers on there on Friday who they allow to have like a full 15 minutes to minister to the people before they go off the air on Fridays? It's just absolutely amazing. Now, they've had to have a couple of other religions as well, but all through their program, they'll talk about the Lord on Fridays in that regard. And it's just amazing what God is doing in our lifetime. And he promised me, when the internet first came out, he said, pay attention because the internet is going to be a net to bring many people in. And he's doing that. Television, internet, and everything, it isn't the devil. It's not evil. People can use it for evil, but God will use it for good. So don't shut it all down and get off of your social media and everything just because of the bad stuff people are doing. You have a delete button, delete them. Delete the bad ones. But continue doing what you're called to do. Don't let it stop you. You know, I just have this saying that I've developed. If you let anything start stopping you, it'll never stop stopping you. So just let me repeat that again. If you let anything start stopping you, it'll never stop stopping you. So don't let anything start stopping you. Thank you, Lord. What time do we got to quit? I forgot to ask you. I'm sure the kids need to be let out at some time. Okay, great. I want to be able to minister to some people. And so because of that, I was wondering if it would be possible for these lights to kind of be being dimmed so that I can actually see people to be able to pick them out. Because I just felt like that the Lord wanted to speak to a couple people here, maybe. But I felt like also the Lord said that this is a season where things are going to be accelerated. That the enemy has accelerated some things, and you're going to see some things accelerated. And the Lord said that some things that weren't even supposed to happen for 10 years are about to happen. And in some cases, 20. And he showed me that the Joseph Company type of people have been held back for about 20 years right now. And I had a massive open vision where this man was laying on a football field. He was as big as a football field. And then and I thought he was dead. And the Lord said, watch. And this guy sat straight up. He was alive. And then there was another man next to him, and he sat straight up, and he was alive. Well, the first man's name was Joseph. The second man's name was Daniel. And the Lord said, the Joseph and the Daniel companies have had to die to their dreams for 20 years, but it's time for them to rise. And so if that's you, you know, God's going to use you mightily. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten his promises. You may have prophetic words that are 20 years old. Well, get them out because it's time. You know, those were just seeds back then, but they've grown to fruition, and you're about to harvest those words if you don't let go of them. You know, if you don't let go of them, if you want to just leave them sit in the box somewhere, oh, well, it's not God's fault if you don't listen to it. And the other thing is, don't expect another prophetic word if you haven't done something about the ones you've already gotten, because God doesn't want to give you one more instruction that you're not going to pay attention to and that you'll be accountable to him for in the end. You know, how... You know, who does that make sense to, that he would continue to give instructions to somebody that doesn't follow the first ones? That would just be confusing. So I just encourage you, pull out those prophetic words. Begin to sort them out. You may not even want those things anymore, then just tell God. Let him help him sort it out. Help him help you, kind of a thing. But the Lord says that this is going to be also a Joel 2:25 time, where he's going to restore even the years the locust and cankerworm has eaten.
Amen.
Don't get all caught up, you know, in the conspiracy theories and all that other junk. Let it go, let it go, let it go. What's happened has happened. We just need to go forward and quit paying attention to all that junk. It doesn't have anything to do with us anymore. You know, we have got to be God-minded, keep our focus on Jesus. Keep our eyes on him and keep going forward into the purpose, call, and destiny on our own personal life instead of listening to what everybody else has to say. And when you hear people starting to get crazy, like I was saying that some people are, you know, in the area of the prophetic, shut them off. Don't listen to them anymore. You know, just stop that. Get into the Word of God. You know that's the truth. There's no confusion there.
Amen.
Get into the Word of God and pay attention to it. It's kind of like, you know, learning to know when to shut your cell phone off. There's times you should. And there's times we need to shut the enemy off. We need to shut off the listening to all that stuff out there. And I feel like the Lord said that, you know, it's also a season, you know, when we will have experiences, true experiences, angelic visitations and so forth. Because we're his. You know, my friend Carol and I, if she was here with me, she'd tell you this is the truth. We were driving down the road in Moravian Falls, North Carolina, or going to Moravian Falls, North Carolina, to a Bible study up there. And my friend Carol is so sanguine. She, like, the whole time she's driving, instead of paying attention to the word, she's looking at you. You're going, Carol, look at the road. Look at the road. And then she's going over the line. Carol, you're going over the line. And it's a two-lane road. And she just, you know, still keeps doing, oh, I know these roads like the back of my hand. I said, yeah, you're about to run over the back of your hand and everything else, you know. And I says, well, what if somebody coming around the corner thinks the same thing and they go over the line? No more than got that out of my mouth. And we run around the corner. There was a car over the line this way. We were over the line this way. And bam, we went right through each other. I'm telling you, through each other. We passed through just like, we saw everything in their car, in their front seat. We saw everything in their back seat. We saw everything in their trunk. And we came out the other side just like that. It was a miracle. Now don't try to do that, okay? Because if you try to do that, something bad will happen. But God did a miracle that day.
Whoa.
And he spared our lives. And, you know, I'm honest before God, that happened to us. There are still miracles out there. Another time I was with my friend Karen, and she lived up in Pennsylvania, and we were going to her mother's house for Thanksgiving. And so we left Erie to go to Aliquippa early because there was a snowstorm, really big bad snowstorm. That's where we have the 4 to 8 feet snowdrifts, you know. So we left early. And sure enough, that storm's coming faster than we can get out of there. We get down by a little town called Meadville. We're doing okay because she was a good driver, and it was in the days of station wagons. And we had all our kids in it, her 4, my 2, and me and her. And her husband had to stay back a little bit longer because he hadn't got his paycheck from his job, so he was waiting for that and coming later. So we get down there, and this truck, semi-truck, jackknifes right in front of us. And she goes, "Oh, Joey, what do I do? What do I do?" And I said, so the truck's like this. I said, "Well, try to go into that part so you have more room to stop." And then I covered my eyes. I don't know why I thought if I didn't see us hit, it wouldn't hurt as bad. You know, dumb. And she says, Joey, look. I said, "No, I don't want to see us hit." She goes, "We're not going to." And I went like this. And, where's the truck? Where's the truck? She goes, "Look behind us." And I looked behind us, and it was easily a mile back. God translated us through the other side and a mile down the road from all that mess. God's still a God of miracles. You know, and you don't have to make them up. I mean, he really does do miracles. One time in Kansas City, I'm there for a meeting with the prophetic camp there, and my car breaks down in the middle of the road. And so this was in the day of cell phones, but it was those big clunky box things, you know, and somebody had loaned me one because I was traveling. And so I called for a tow truck and everything, and I'm sitting there waiting in the middle of the road with my flashers on, but a lot of traffic. And this man comes up beside me, and I looked and I saw he had a little red car behind me, and he says, "You need some help here?" And I says, "Well, I've called the tow truck, but I'm just waiting for them to get here." And he says, "Well, I'll just stand here and keep you protected and motion these people around you." So he's motioning them around me and everything. And I looked, and he had a pager on his belt and everything. I don't know why I remember that, but I saw he had a pager there. And then he was talking, and he got a buzz on it. He looked, and he goes, "Well, when I'm done with you, I got another somebody else that needs some help." And he goes like that. And I'm like, "Somebody else that needs some help? Is this an angel?" You know? And we're talking and talking. Well, all of a sudden, you see the tow truck pull across the intersection. They're coming towards me. He says, "Oh, there they are now." And he goes, "Okay, looks like you're in good hands now. So I'm going to go because, like I said, somebody else needs some help now." He says, "You have a blessed day." And he went to walk behind my car. And then I went to turn to him, "Thank you again." I didn't see him. And so I opened the door, and I stood up, and I looked behind me. He's gone. The car's gone. Poof. Just gone. And I believe it was an angel, you know. And there's people that have done that for you, too. Somebody who stopped to help you with a flat tire or whatever it might be. Or even just spoke a word to you, a kind word to you in the grocery store at a needed time. So trust God. And know there's the real. We don't got to fake it. We don't got to fake it. Isn't that relieving, and isn't that powerful? We don't got to fake it. And here's something, here's just one word that the Lord gave me. And I think that this is like absolutely one of the most powerful things I've ever heard in my whole entire life. And he said, "Favor. I'm giving my people favor." And here's how he described it. He says, "My favor is more powerful than anything on earth because my favor is authority where no one else will give you authority." He says, you can walk in someplace and they'll say, "Well, you've got to, if you're applying for a job, you've got to have this, this, and this, and experience and blah, blah, blah." But instead, you walk in with my favor, and they don't care if you've never had a job before. You've got my favor, and they just can't help themselves but to hire you. He says, "My favor is the highest authority of any on the face of the earth." And he says, "And I'm giving my favor to my people. I'm giving my people favor in the area of finances." The bank may say, "Oh, no, you can't have a loan for this or you can't have a loan for that." But then all of a sudden they'll say, "Wait a minute, come back here. Here's the paper, sign on the dotted line because you've got my favor." She says, my favor. My favor is the highest level of authority you can have, and that's what I'm giving to my people. So just know, you stand in God's favor. And just consider it already done when you go in to apply for a job or when you're trying to make a deal on a house that you might want. And by the way, Lydia right over here can help you with the house. This is my commercial for the night. By the way, I almost forgot to say this. I didn't forget that it was, but today is her birthday. Happy birthday, Lydia. So, Lord, I just thank you for each and every one that's here. And I thank you, God, that they have your favor, they have your anointing, they have your love, they have each other. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the new building. We just ask you to speed things up quicker than what people think, Lord. And we think it's going to be at just the right time. And we thank you that it's the right place, and that all of what you have spoken to them will come to pass. We thank you even for the future building that will be built alongside of it. We thank you for the school that will be raised up. And Lord, we thank you for the many people that are going to come who yet have the opportunity to come here. In Jesus' name. Yes. And Holy Spirit, I just ask you that you would just give words right to the heart of what's on your heart, like that sharpened, polished arrow, and even those golden nuggets, so that your people would know that it's from you. Help me see and hear all you have for those you want to speak to tonight.